Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I know you probably had many other things you could do with your time tonight. So I just want to thank you so much for taking the time and to join us on this Wednesday evening to hear and learn about what the Shelburne Walk and Bike Connectivity Study is. And before I forget, I am going to record this meeting.
Recording in progress.
For those that aren't in attendance, they'll be able to revisit this and watch it at their leisure over the next couple of weeks. Once again, you're at the Shelburne Walk and Bike Connectivity Study, the first of two planned community forums. And I am Jason Charest with the Chittenden County Regional Planning Commission. And just in case you're not familiar with who or what the Chittenden County RPC is, we are Chittenden County's Regional Planning Commission. So if there's a planning need in the county, it's likely that we have our fingers on it in some way, shape, or form. So that would cover transportation planning, such as this study, land use planning, energy planning, stormwater, emergency planning, you name it. If it has to do with planning, we're likely involved in some way, shape, or form. And this study was a request from the town of Shelburne to be included as part of our annual work program. And it was approved for inclusion. And we hired a consultant, Dubois & King, to assist us with this work. And while I am the project manager on behalf of the CCRPC, I do want to acknowledge and highlight Adele Gravitz, your town planner. Adele, I can't see you right now, but if I don't know if you just want to wave or just quickly say hello.
Hello, I'm Adele.
That's great. And I also want to make mention of Brian Davis, my coworker. He's going to be involved kind of on the tech side of things and taking notes tonight. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. So a quick agenda of what we hope to accomplish tonight. We're going to go over what this study is, a little bit of background, some community priorities, and then we're going to spend the bulk of the time introducing you to a story map that Dubois & King put together and a survey that we'll be asking and hoping you all will be willing to take because it's going to really help us out in prioritizing all the projects that have been identified through various studies over the years in Shelburne. And I'm going to ask that if you have comments and questions that you can hopefully hold them until number 7 on the agenda, just so we can get through the slides as quickly as possible and then, you know, kind of open up the floor to a discussion. If you, you know, can't wait or maybe just don't think you can remember your question for that amount of time, I welcome you to put them into the chat. I just want to let you know that we won't be monitoring it throughout the presentation, but we will revisit it when we get to agenda item number 7. So just to let you know who's involved with this study and who's helping move it along. We have, you know, representatives from the town of Shelburne, the Chittenden County Regional Planning Commission, and I already mentioned earlier the consultant that was hired to do this work, Dubois & King. Those three entities represent, make up what we're calling the study team for this project. And we're also aided by the help and by an advisory committee consisting of residents throughout town that serve on various boards, commissions, or groups. So what this study, you know, hopes to accomplish is, you know, a catalog and assessment of previous studies, and to, you know, align those, align community priorities with the prior studies and the recommendations that came out of them, and then specifically like the goals that come out of the Shelburne Comprehensive Plan and the Economic Development Report, and then just kind of more broadly speaking, the Vermont Complete Streets Guidance. And at the end of all this, we will have a prioritized list of active transportation projects. And if you're not familiar with what active transportation means, it's just a fancy way of saying walking and biking, to make Shelburne, you know, a safer, more comfortable, more inviting, and just overall better place to walk and bike. I mentioned on the previous slide a review of prior studies. So far, I think we have a list of about 24, either plans, designs, and proposals that have an element in them pertaining to trails, sidewalks, crosswalks, bike lanes. And, you know, on the right, I just have a couple of the goals that, you know, are going to help us, you know, prioritize these recommendations that came out of all these plans, designs, and proposals. And those goals are just directly taken from the town plan and the economic development report that are both very recently either completed or updated. And I won't read those to you. I won't subject you to that. Now we're going to transition into the story map slides, and we'll walk you through, you know, what that is. And I think we're going to share a link to that in the chat. But it's, you know, built for two key purposes. And, you know, the first is to just inform everybody and get them up to speed on, you know, what is out there currently today for walking and biking, and, you know, what's been proposed over the years. And I think, you know, many people will probably be aware of some, you know, if not all of them, but for those that aren't, and even those that are, it should serve as a great way to see all of these visually together in, you know, one place. And secondly, it's to you know, provide an opportunity for members of the community to complete the survey and, you know, give feedback that will help us come up with a prioritized list of projects for Shelburne. Okay. This is a screenshot of from the story map itself. I'm gonna, if I can go forward here. Oh, excuse me. Should see an orange box at the top of your screen. That's over what I'm gonna call the navigation bar. So right now we're at the sidewalks piece of the story map. And as you go through and scroll through the story map, you'll see that it, you know, we'll progress through this kind of menu bar across the top. And I've skipped over community priorities because we went over that earlier in the presentation. And I'm just gonna kind of walk you through the various elements of this just to get you situated in case you've never looked at or used one of these before. So if you wanted to, say, skip over sidewalks and crosswalks and go right to bike lanes, you could actually just click that on the top and it would take you right to that place in the story map. Alternatively, you could just scroll through one by one and just get there and at your own leisure. Kind of moving in clockwise direction, you should see an orange box in your upper right-hand corner of the screen. That little button will make the map bigger or smaller. Moving down to the lower right-hand corner, you have your plus and minus, which will zoom in and zoom out of the map. And if you find yourself at some point just kind of grabbing the map with your mouse and panning, and you want to get back to where it was, you can always click that little house, that home button, and that'll bring the map right back to where it was based on what's on the left pane of the screen. And you'll notice that as you scroll through the map, the left pane will move up and new information will come in, and the map itself will move around based on where the focus is. The legend itself should just show you or tell you what these lines represent. Hopefully that's fairly self-explanatory, but for this, you know, existing sidewalks are in a solid blue line and proposed sidewalks are in a dotted blue line. And then as I kind of mentioned or alluded to earlier, there's going to be a pane on the left that will give you information as to what, you know, we hope to tell you, and it will focus the map on a particular area of town. You know, that'll become more clear as I go through this. And then lastly, in the lower right, you'll see that says, you know, 0, 1 out of 5. So right now we're looking at the first of 5 slides in the sidewalks section of the story map. And if at any point you know you want to get to a certain slide, you can click on that and then click on a number and it'll take you right there. So once you become experts with this and you want to go back to it, you can navigate that way. Moving on to crosswalks. This is just an example of what that looks like. You can see there's little pins highlighted in a black outline of where proposed existing signalized crosswalks and existing unsignalized crosswalks are. And signalized can be either at a traffic signal or it can be one of those helpful push button activated crosswalks that you have. If you're into the lingo, the rectangular rapid flashing beacons that you can push with a button and they flash super fast.
Jason, I'm just going to jump in for a second, remind people that Jason is going to show you the story map live. He's just using slides right now. But if you look on the left-hand side where it says crosswalks, we've listed some of the studies that these recommendations or the recommendations, the projects that we've been using. So it kind of pinpoints crosswalk or sidewalk and then the source of the study. But in addition, the community priorities, which we skipped over because we went over it, there is a link in the community priorities, if I'm correct, that has a link to the spreadsheet of the 24 studies. Is that correct, Jason?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I glossed over that. Yes, there is a link in the story map that'll bring you to a Google Doc that has the list of studies that we've reviewed as part of this and use the information gleaned from those to populate and make this story map. So if you happen to look at those and you find a study that you know of that isn't listed or a recommendation out of a study that you don't see acknowledged somewhere in this story map, that's definitely something that we'll want to be aware of, because while we tried our best to get everything, I'm pretty sure there's usually something that we've missed. I think the only other thing I wanted to highlight on this slide was just, you know, that this location is, you know, taking something from the 2014 US 7 Harbor Road Falls Road scoping study and putting those on the map. And that was, you know, the proposal of a median refuge island on Route 7 at the crosswalk that's got the blue pin over it on the map. Next up are bike lanes. And this, you know, is just highlighting where we found that there's in the past been some proposed bike lanes on Dorset Street. And you know, this is kind of one of those areas where if you know, that were ever implemented, it would kind of connect into South Burlington. And those, you know, are represented by the dotted red lines on the map. Next up, we have shared use paths. And you know, this slide of the shared use path section of the story map is, you know, highlighting the Bay Road pedestrian and bicycle mobility study completed in 2017, which recommended building a shared use path along Bay Road. And, you know, just in case you're not familiar, when we talk about a shared use path, that is generally speaking a wider, much wider pathway than, you know, your typical 5 to 6 foot sidewalk. A shared use path is typically around 10 feet and also typically asphalt, but it could also be gravel. If you're, you know, a keen observer, you might notice on the map that the Tie Hall Trail is located on this map and included as part of the shared use path layer, which, as I'm sure all of you know, is not paved. And this is just a screenshot that, you know, showcases all of the paths, sidewalks, and bike lanes that are either existing or proposed. And, you know, I think it's a helpful map in terms of, you know, if you ever wanted to do a gap analysis to determine, you know, where you're where you might not have a plan or study for a missing link in your walking and biking network. This is a great map to utilize for that purpose.
And then Jason, you said to remind you that this is links to this is an example of a question on the survey.
Yeah, there is a connectivity. So related to that, thanks Adele, there is a connectivity question on the survey, and sort of that kind of gets at this map in particular, because there are some proposed either bike lanes, shared use path, or sidewalks that would serve to you know, fill in a missing link and connect existing infrastructure. After that, we go into trails, and this is just, you know, slide 4 out of 5 in the trails section of the story map that is showing the Platte Nature Area and, you know, the connection to the, I guess what's called the Gardenside Trails, and I guess it's on private land. Be interested to know from people in town, you know, how that area is used. And we do have another kind of catch-all. Going through the review of the previous studies, there's, you know, certain elements that, you know, don't directly fit a sidewalk, crosswalk, or bike lane. And this is, you know, just an example of that. And it's a recommendation that came out of a traffic calming review at Falls Road and Marcette Road to implement a mini roundabout at that intersection. And last but definitely not least is the your priorities. And that is where the survey is embedded into the story map. You can also you can see there's a link there to click it and open it into a new window. And I think Brian's also gonna, you know, put a direct link to that survey into the chat. And that survey has you know, it's just 2 pages, not very long. So hopefully it's not too much of a burden for people to take. But it, you know, kind of puts some kind of competing priorities against each other in the survey to try to help us tease out what's more important to people in town. And that'll help us create the prioritized list of projects. At this point, I do kind of generally speaking want to open it up to comments and questions. You know, is there, you know, anything that you've seen so far that, you know, we're missing or misrepresented? You know, anything planned that you're aware of that might not be shown? And then just, you know, broadly speaking, be great to just hear like what your priorities are for walking and biking in Shelburne. And give me a second here. Tracy, I see your hand shot up right away.
It did. I'm Tracy Bowden. I am the school crossing guard at Route 7 traffic light. And Jason, this is just something that bugs me, but I don't know if that first picture of the other crossing guard is part of your part of the mapping thing here when people click on the link, because it shows the children riding their bikes across the street, which they should not be doing. They should be walking their bikes on the crosswalk. So that's my issue with that picture.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yep.
Jason, before we open those, do you want to maybe zoom in real quick to the story map so they can see it live? Do you think that might be helpful? Or did you want to wait and do that later?
I just wanted to see what initial questions came up first. Then I'd be totally happy to dive into that.
Okay.
Just going to kind of look through the questions. When will the survey close? That'll close at the end of the month, the end of March. And following this meeting, we do plan on advertising it repeatedly up to the end of the month to hopefully drive more traffic to get there and take that survey.
Jason, can you see hands are raised? Or, I don't know if you can see it on your side.
Yeah, I can see hands are raised. I was just going through some questions in the chat, but I will get to those hands raised. You have any VTrans initiatives that are coming down the road? They should be captured in the story map. So if you notice something that's not captured, we definitely would want to know about that. So I would appreciate that. And yes, this when we advertise it, we can put these links on Front Porch Forum. Okay, going to the hand raised, Jeff, I have you first on the list.
Thanks. Appreciate pulling together those maps. One of the things I didn't see in the maps that I'd love to kind of also see so that we can keep things in context is like the walkable and bikeable streets that are as is. Like a 25 mile an hour neighborhood street, it might not have a sidewalk on, but functionally, you know, it is walkable and bikeable. So, you know, having a map where the sidewalks are and aren't, it kind of loses the context, right? A 50 mile an hour street that doesn't have a sidewalk is different than, you know, a 25 mile an hour street that's in a neighborhood that doesn't have a sidewalk. So just maybe, I don't know what verbiage you'd use, but, you know, walkable, bikeable streets, you know, as is, and mapping those out. And then the second thing I'd love to see is a map that shows like addresses. And so we can see like where the houses are in the population density, because there's rural parts of Shelburne and there's urban parts of Shelburne, and trying to network and get the most bang for our buck and mapping out where people are actually living as opposed to where there's a lot of open lands. So those are the two recommendations I have, but thanks for pulling together those maps.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Good stuff. Jane.
Just a quick question. Will the story map link be on, will there be a link on the town website as well as published on Front Porch Forum?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, but Adele, would you like to confirm?
I can certainly, it is linked on your site, so it is there, but I can certainly get a link on our, I'm assuming I can get a link on our website. I'll talk to the people who are in charge of that, but yes, I will. And if for some reason not, we'll have an explanation on the website with a link to Jason's. Thank you.
If I could just another quick comment, yeah. I haven't really had a chance to look at in detail at the story, map in terms of the VTrans initiatives. My husband Tom, as a member of the Village Pedestrian Safety Group, had a fair amount of communication with VTrans about their repaving project that's supposed to start in about a year, I believe. And there were certain recommendations that we made to VTrans that they were looking at being a part of that project. So if I find some things that aren't included, we'll let you know.
Yeah, thanks for the refresher. I do recall those communications, and we'll make a note to look back to make sure that those are incorporated. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Let's see, Rosalyn. You were unmuted, but now you're muted.
Oh.
There you are. You're good now.
Yes, thank you. I thought I knew the trick. I'm the president of the Shelburne Business and Professional Association. And in our many, many conversations about things often oriented to attracting visitors to the town, we have discussions about improving accessibility for people to be able to visit different parts of the town, and walking and biking comes up a lot. But another piece that comes up that I don't see addressed here, and I think it perhaps could be an important part of this creating the network, is parking. Because if we're going to make it easier for people to walk around within the town and to the extremities of town and so on, it would be really important and valuable to have something we really don't have much of now, which is accessible areas for parking.
Okay. Thanks. Kate?
Hi there. I wanted to just reiterate for everybody that, you know, one of our goals is to use this connectivity study to support changes that will increase sense of place in the village. So I think I want to just say that it's really important that everybody understand at the outset that our using state and federal funds, we need to be very discretionary about how we go about doing that, because those funds come with some significant strings. So the path that you were mentioning earlier that was pursued several years ago or explored for Bay Road that was going to be as much as 10 feet wide was really considered not supporting sense of place in that portion of town. And one of the things that was really not brought out, unfortunately, in that discussion was that was what would have to happen if you used state and federal funds. Now, if we were to just use local funds, we could put a very simple sidewalk through as one example. So I think that's really important for people to understand. In the Irish Hill Road, where the costs have escalated and we've taken an incredible amount of time, directly relates to some of the implications of using some of these funds. Then the last thing I wanted to just say that I'm hoping comes out of this is innovative consideration of an innovative approaches like advisory bike lanes, where in certain instances we would consider removing the center lane on the road and really creating multimodality on par. All types of modalities would be on par. I think there may be some areas in the town where that's appropriate. I want to echo what Roz said about parking, which we can also combine with wayfinding. And then I would also like to see opportunities for connectivity combined with solving our problems of stormwater, because that can create opportunities to have both of those things. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Kate. Let's see, Pierre.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering whether your CCRPC, do you work in collaboration with neighboring towns like South Burlington and Burlington? I'm thinking specifically with Local Motion over in Burlington, which I've been a part of that, and I'm just wondering whether you guys coordinate and try to create some kind of a coordinated bike structure between Burlington, South Burlington, and Shelburne, and even further south.
I think the answer is yes to all of that. Yes, we do work with all the municipalities within Chittenden County. Yes, Local Motion is one of our partners that we work closely with. I communicated with Jonathan about getting the word out for this study. And yes, to your final question, I think about a regional plan. We do have a regional active transportation plan that Brian, who's here tonight, actually managed that. And Local Motion is one of the partners that helps us create that plan. Okay, next up we have Joyce.
Hi, in the north, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
In the north end of Burlington, the bike path runs along the railroad tracks. And so every street that intersects going towards the lake, everybody who lives there can access the bike path. And so in Shelburne, there is a high concentration of people on Route 7 in the very north section of Route 7. So if a path were along the railroad tracks, you would pick up an awful lot of people in the very north end of Route 7. And perhaps that could extend right into South Burlington, into Burlington, and that brings you into Colchester. You would have a huge area to be able to bike and walk.
Yeah, agreed. I do think that is something that's on the map as a previous recommendation that has come out of a study. But if you do not see it on the map, please do let us know. All right, next up, Nicole.
Yeah, hi, Jason. Thanks for putting Brian the story map together. It's great to see it all laid out. There's definitely lots of studies, and it's nice to see it all condensed. In terms of priorities, connecting neighborhoods rises to the top for me. I live in the north end of Shelburne near the South Burlington border, and I've been really impressed by it. What's happened over time is all the different neighborhoods in South Burlington have been connected. That allows for many great ways for me as a biker to navigate my way off busy roads to different parts of either South Burlington or Burlington. And didn't know where that fit in the overall priorities because it didn't show up on the storyboard in terms of connecting some neighborhoods. So just wondered if that was being considered as a priority or if you were only looking at existing proposals on the story map done with prior studies.
Primarily with prior studies, but if you have an idea for a connection that either just isn't on the map and hasn't been studied, I think we still want to know about that. And what I think we can do with it is create a list of things that need future study. So if you have a connection that you want to get from one neighborhood to another in mind, and it hasn't previously been looked at, I think this is the opportunity to try to flag that. And you can either write it in the chat right now, or there is an open response question box at the end of the survey. And so that's an opportunity to just add anything of that nature so that we can take it into consideration.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm just going to take a look at what flew into the chat during that time period. And let's see, Sage, I'll just read the question just so everyone's aware of what I'm trying to respond to. Sage asks, is there a proposal for a median or some way to slow traffic down when you're traveling south on Route 7 and take a left onto South Park Road into Vermont Day School / Vermont Teddy Bear? This needs to be safer. Thank you. I don't think there is a proposal for a median. I would have to review the Southern Gateway study that we worked on, and I think, Sage, you were involved with that study, but that is an intersection that we took a look at, so we'll have to revisit that study and see if there's a recommendation of that sort. Matt, what sorts of federal or state funds might be available for PASS, and how does Shelburne best pursue them? There are grant opportunities, bike ped grants every year that VTrans puts out a call for requests for. And Brian, again, is a person who knows more about that than I do. But every year, if there are grants that you're interested in pursuing, we staff at the CCRPC can help you write a proposal for that so that it's as competitive as possible amongst your neighboring communities. Nicole asks, is there a way to include rec path easements that have been given to the town? These are opportunities to expand infrastructure that are logistically possible. I think we can do that. If we know of the easement, we can get that on the map. That would be good to be aware of, and I think that'll help complete the picture of the map. Kate agrees with Nicole to reflect those easements. Okay, Rocco, I see you have a long comment, but I also see you have your hand raised, so I'm just going to ask you to go for it. Oh, you are muted right now.
Thank you. Just quickly on the comments. Along Spear Street, the shoulders of the road were expanded materially with funds from the 2008 PATH bond. And they were never officially designated as bike lanes because I think of some construction limitations and a few other things, but right now they are kind of obliterated because the paint is all worn off, but that was a major effort that we put in, and it does really facilitate bicycling quite a bit there. And I thought maybe there would be a way to show areas where those types of infrastructure things have been added to the town.
It's kind of like the previous comment about streets that are 25 miles per hour under, which you can more or less safely walk on. It sounds like there's effectively width for bikes to travel safely on Spear Street as a result of that project.
Yeah, definitely. And if we could get some longer lasting paint, it would really be wonderful. There are a lot of, I didn't see them mentioned anywhere on the map, but on the new development that's underway on the west side of Spear Street that was used to be kind of half of the Quinneyasca golf course, the developer there is putting in quite a network of sidewalks and a multi-use path along Spear Street, the length of that. And actually, they've just got enough of gravel down now that you can actually see that multi-use path. So it would be nice to see those added to the map. Just one last item. Way back when the Webster Road path was built, there's an intersection where it ends on the west end, right at Route 7, and then blends into the sidewalk. And we had hoped at the time to have a much, I would say, sort of more user-friendly intersection between those two right now, anybody that's reaches that corner is kind of pushed out into the traffic, where you've got cars often making very fast right turns. And it is an area that is very attractive for school children coming in. And town highway department has put up some extra posts and things like that. We spent a lot of time trying to work with the state to come up with a solution that would produce more separation between the cars and the pedestrians and bicyclists at that point. If there's a way to continue that effort or kind of get it back on the radar, I think would be very helpful.
Okay, great, thank you. Let's see, Jessica, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, hi. This piggybacks on some of the comments that have already been made, but in terms of the map, even though a lot of us do live in Shelburne and are familiar with it, I think it would be helpful to have things included like major destinations, like the school or Shelburne Farms or businesses, so that it starts to tell a little bit more of a story about where people are going, where they want to go by foot or bike. And that might tie into some of the gaps that exist. And along those lines, I can't help thinking that it would be helpful at some point to see sort of two different scales, maps that show the context of other towns, the entire town of Shelburne, but then it's very different when you get into the village. And I think a lot of people have ideas and questions about really specific sidewalk areas and parking areas. So at some point, maybe down the road, if there could be two scales, one for the village and sort of that more fine grain detail, and then one for the entire town, that could be useful.
Okay. Yeah, great. Thank you. See, Carol.
Hi, I think that's me.
Yes, that's
my wife is Carol. I'm Peter Castle.
Okay.
Thank you. I was wondering what the status was with the bridge over the La Platte at the bottom of Irish Hill, and also the Irish Hill Road path.
Yeah, I think I do see Paul here. I don't know if Lee's here as well, but they would probably be better able to answer that question than I would. So if they're willing, I'd appreciate it.
This is Paul. Lee's not on.
I may have missed the question or all of
it.
I'm sorry.
The question was the status of the, the La Platte River Bridge, Irish Hill Road, and the new sidewalk. And what is the status of that project?
Yep. So we have been working hard with Cy from your office and Eric Alling, engineer, been working very hard to try to accelerate that project. My hope was to begin construction this spring and wrap it up next fiscal year. The voters did authorize borrowing to complete the town's 20% local share. Unfortunately, what I learned yesterday was actually this morning. Cost increases are going sky high, and projects that Eric, the engineer, has been aware of in elsewhere have seen cost increases as much as 60%. So we are reassessing options of all sorts. But my hope that we begin construction and finish it this calendar year may be dashed. I'm not sure yet. That's the best I can tell us at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate the update. And I've heard a familiar story from a lot of people around the state trying to move projects forward. Let's see, I think that's it for hands we have. There's a few more comments that came into the chat. See, there's a question about bike lanes or widening of Dorset Street around a mile before the Irish Hill intersection. I don't know if there's a plan for that. specifically. So we'll have to take a look at that. And we'll be saving all the comments from the chat so that we can revisit them and kind of go through them line by line in more detail than I can think of off the top of my head. The map should include, Thomas suggests the map should include neighborhood cut-throughs, like the John Street little field cut-through. I think to the extent that we're aware of those, we can absolutely include them on the map. I think the difficulty might be just that, being aware of them. So we'll be, you know, if you have a list that you're willing to come up with and send us, that would be huge. And if not, we can bring this up at our next advisory committee meeting and talk about it then to see what we can drum up. Lee, I see you come back.
Chase, thank you. Just I agree it would be wonderful to show those, but just a cautionary note. Not too long before I arrived here in Shelburne, there was a trail map that was produced that showed trails on private property without having asked the private property owners whether they were okay with that. And it caused quite a backlash. So I just urge caution that if we're going to show informal connections on private property, it would be very important, I believe, to get the permission of those landowners first before going public and showing them as if they are in fact public ownership or use.
Gotcha. Thank you for that cautionary warning. Let's see. Ted has a question. Does the CCRPC or the consultant have a way to estimate the cost of individual initiatives without doing a full engineering study? This would help inform long-term decisions for current and future budgets. Well, typically with any study, there usually is an estimate done, any either planning or scoping study. And so I think what we can do is take a look back at all those recommendations and pull out those cost estimates, and we'll have to, of course, bring them up to today's dollars. So I'd be a little nervous in putting too much stock in the number, but I do think we might be able to come up with at least a ballpark for those projects and recommendations that have been previously studied. Marla's making mention that there's also a cut through from Deer Run to Farmstead that's on Google Maps. Okay. That's interesting if that were private land, but it's on Google Maps. Nicole Carpenter, it's a very long comment here. Let me see if I can synthesize this. Be good to connect, to create walking and biking connections through various parts of towns. Not existing rec path easements for some currently, but there are large tracts of undeveloped land where it could be possible if easements would be obtained. Goes on to mention
I was just summarizing my comments from earlier about some neighborhood connections that would be nice.
Got you. Okay, thank you. All right. I think those are all the questions that we've had in the chat. I have just a few more slides to go through. Let's see. Oh, yeah, of course. Next steps, I think I already mentioned this. Thanks to the question about it, but we'll be keeping the survey open till the end of March, and we'll be advertising the story map and the survey following this meeting. Following this meeting, we're going to get it up on the project website, and then we'll get the word out on Front Porch Forum. I also have a list of interested citizens. Distribution list that I'll be sending it out to. If you're interested in getting your email address on that list, I would ask that you just email me directly, and I will put my email address into the chat right now. It's also available on the project website. And yeah, continuing on with next steps. There's the second advisory committee meeting we hope to have towards the end of April, and the second community forum come mid-May, and hopefully we'll be, you know, wrapping this all up with a select board presentation in the July timeframe. Again, that is that's my email address, also Adele's email address, and the project website that Brian also thankfully and helpfully just put a link to in the chat. And with that, that will do it for tonight.
Jason, did you want to just quickly pull up the story map?
Do we have time? We can do that.
Sure. I thought it would be really helpful for people to see as we walk through it.
Let me try to bring that up.
And I know some things may be missing on this map, and I know Paul Goodrich, who's on, will probably have some great insights I can get from him at the office. And while you're here, one of the community priorities, you can show that link to all the studies that were collected.
So hopefully you can see my screen still, and you can see that this is the opening page of the story map. So when you click the link, this is what it'll bring you to. And as you scroll through, you can see that navigational bar across the top. And the community priorities are, you know, what we summarized early on in the presentation. And, you know, as you scroll through, there's, you know, links to town plans that we've been looking at. And there's also a link that I may have just scrolled past. I apologize.
It's right there. You're looking for the studies? It's right there.
Yes, right here. Yeah. So that is the link to the Google Doc that will take you to all the previous plans and studies that we've looked at. So if you want to take a look at that and make sure we haven't missed anything, that would be sincerely appreciated. And you know, just going through, I'm just going to go ahead and click on sidewalks just to show you how that works. It'll take you right to sidewalks. And you can see how the map has populated. And as you scroll, the map is going to zoom in to the various areas of interest that we've highlighted. It's just zooming in on the village area, and just has, you know, the different recommendations that we've discovered, or consolidated, I should say. And it just goes over to different areas of town. And as you keep scrolling through, it'll just keep going through the various items. I'm gonna go ahead and like fast forward over to share use paths just by clicking it up at the top. And sometimes you just have to give it a little bit to load, but it'll come up there. And then I think I mentioned it earlier as part of the presentation, you can click on the lower left. That's where you'll be able to click and navigate to a different slide under a certain section. So if I go to slide 5, this is the, you know, map that has everything, everything minus crosswalks. Just because the map was starting to get really busy if we tried to show everything. And then I think the last thing I really want to show you is the survey, you know, itself. So if you go to your priorities, that's where you'll find the survey. You can click this link. It'll open it up in a separate window. You don't have to do that. You can absolutely just take it within. So you get a little prompt to click to interact, and you just go ahead and take the survey and select the options as best you see fit, just like you would any other survey. Adele, anything else you wanted to make mention about the story map?
I think mostly just two things. If anything's missing, it's really important. If something's been fixed that we didn't, you know, that is now existing, to let us know. We reached out to the schools and we'd love to get input from the students. And as I wrote in an email, if the students are too young to do this alone, we hope their adult will help them look at the map and see what they might want to share. And just to reach out if with any questions or comments to Jason or to me.
Great. Thanks so much, everyone. I appreciate you joining us again. I hope to see you next time, and look forward to seeing your survey results.